You just heard the last five of the 17 Slaughter or Norwegian Peasant Dances, played on the piano by Eine Stein Nekleberg, and it was by Edvard Grieg, and preceded by what might be considered the original, what led Grieg to write those marvelous tunes, Knut Bruin on the very special Hardanger fiddle, which is unique to Norway. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 on your FM stereo dial. Stay tuned to Stardate, and don't panic, brain damage will be coming.
Stardate May 5th. A century ago, most scientists would have said that life probably exists only on Earth. The reason is that planets like Earth were once thought to be an accident. At the turn of the century, people knew that stars are really distant suns, many much like our own. But the planets encircling our sun were thought to be more or less unique. One theory about their formation said that the sun once had a companion star, which became unstable and exploded. The debris from the sun's shattered companion was thought to have condensed into planets. Another popular notion was that a passing star brushed near the sun. The near collision was supposed to have drawn long filaments of solar material into space. According to this picture, the filaments were the raw material for the planets. Both theories involved rare events, so planets were thought to be rare. But modern theories say something different, that the sun and its planets formed from a huge collapsing cloud of rotating interstellar gas and dust. All stars apparently form in this way, so it's reasonable to expect that planets are common. Moreover, we've realized that the building blocks for life, the amino acids, can be constructed fairly easily from simple molecules. If planets, the homes for life, are common, and if the elements on which life builds are easily made, then life may be plentiful in the galaxy. This is Stardate, our 900 number, 1-900-370-2777, to keep up to date on astronomy. The call costs $1 a minute. We change the message for you every week. Stardate is a production of the McDonald Observatory at the University of Texas. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording, already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording, already in progress.
What did you say?
Brain Damage is underwritten by a grant from the Little Computer Shop, located in the Model Shopping Mall in Centereach. Phone number 467-4352. The Little Computer Shop stocks the latest in hardware, software, and computer publications.
Already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording, already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording, already in progress.
This is Feel Better.
Just hold on a second.
And now it's time for Moscow Mailbag. This edition was prepared by Irina Solovtsova. And let us begin with a letter from Albert Pantello of Birmingham, Michigan. Would you please answer the question whether in the USSR or in Russia you have had similar utopian love movements as the hippie generation here in America?
We did have such a movement, though it was much smaller than in America, chiefly due to the official disapproval of any unauthorized movement, the program of which differed from the programs of the existing, artificially formed official movements and organizations. Long-haired young people in faded jeans were also denounced by the Young Communist League as imitators of the West and people without distinct political orientation. It is true that the hippie movement was borrowed from the West, and I don't think it would have lasted long, though in the streets of Moscow, one can still see young people who look very much like hippies. However, this movement was limited to such big cities as Moscow, Kiev, and Leningrad. I don't think it was even known in many rural areas. As for Central Asia and the Transcaucasian republics, there were practically no hippies there due to strict religious traditions and norms of behavior. Long hair for men is unacceptable there, to say nothing of other signs of the hippie movement.
The next question comes from Albert Cardin of Albrightsville, Pennsylvania. Is it true that before the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917, the Soviet Union had a capitalistic kind of economic system? Please explain the history of private ownership of capital during the days of the Romanovs and Tsar Nicholas. And do you believe that the Soviet Union should return to private ownership of capital?
Before answering the question, I must make a few things clear. Before 1917, this country was called Russia, not the Soviet Union, of course. The days of the Romanov dynasty cannot be described in even one book, not to say anything about a radio broadcast. They ruled Russia for almost four centuries. There were two Nicholases in Russian history, Nicholas I and Nicholas II. As for the history of private ownership and capitalism in Russia, I can only say that compared to European countries, capitalism started developing here quite late. Autocracy hindered the rapid growth of the bourgeoisie in cities, and the existence of landlords till the end of the last century, even after the abolition of serfdom in 1861, held back the development of capitalism and farming. Russian capitalists were mostly merchants or sons of merchants who invested their capital in industry. At the end of the 19th century, there were many more small and medium-sized businesses than big ones, though at the beginning of the century, the first syndicates were formed in several branches of the economy. Joint stock companies were widespread, and there was a whole network of joint stock commercial banks. As a result, despite the autocratic rule at the beginning of the 20th century, Russia competed with many countries in the iron and steel and food industries, in the production of steam engines and ships. The return to private ownership is a subject of heated debates between economists and politicians. Those who consider themselves radicals believe private ownership of the means of production and land is the only way out of the economic crisis. Nevertheless, the recently passed law on property contains a clause on the individual property of citizens instead of private ownership. I think that, despite the differences of opinions and vagueness of terms, private enterprise will soon be widely spread in the country, at least in the form of joint stock companies and commercial banks.
Clarence Moe of Tucson, Arizona asks, isn't the Limnological Institute protecting Lake Baikal from becoming polluted from the nearby factories?
The Limnological Institute, a major research center of the Soviet Academy of Sciences in Irkutsk, Siberia, has been working on programs to protect the basin of Lake Baikal for many years. Nevertheless, its efforts have not produced great results. The ministry is building their enterprises on the banks of the lake and profiting from their operation. They've blocked efforts of even the government that has passed many decisions on protecting Lake Baikal from pollution. There are still about 100 industrial enterprises having no purification installations on the banks of this biggest body of fresh water in the world. Over the past decade, two major pulp plants have cut by 50% the waste they dump into the lake, but they are expected to be closed only in 1993. Like it often happens in this country in cases of environmental problems, scientists, writers, and public figures have raised their voices in defense of Lake Baikal. An international Baikal movement has even been organized to protect sources of fresh water around the globe. It unites experts from the Soviet Union, the United States, Japan, and Mongolia.
Clarence Moe also writes, please comment on Mr. Gorbachev's interpreter, whom he takes on all his trips.
It's difficult to comment on a person who rarely appears on the TV screen somewhere in the background. That's why I'll quote an interview Pavel Poloshenko, that's the name of the man, granted to the popular weekly Moscow News. Poloshenko is 40 years old and he is an advisor at the Soviet Foreign Ministry because officially Mikhail Gorbachev does not have a personal interpreter. For this reason, between foreign trips the interpreter works at the ministry. He is a graduate of the Moscow Foreign Languages College. After graduation, he worked for several years in New York and the United Nations as a simultaneous interpreter. He won a competition to become the interpreter of Mikhail Gorbachev and Foreign Minister Eduard Shevardnadze. He admits that he gets very tired of negotiations because while in the past many things were worked out in advance and negotiators often simply stamped ready decisions, now talks are really exchanges of opinions. When he was asked whether it is difficult to be constantly in the focal point of attention, he said no, because he does not submit to psychological pressure easily. He finds it quite difficult to work with the Soviet leader, because, he says, Mikhail Gorbachev expresses his ideas in a colorful, idiomatic way and emotional form. But neither President Gorbachev nor Foreign Minister Shevardnadze have ever expressed any dissatisfaction with their interpreter. They regard me as a person doing a serious job, Pavel Poloshenko said. The Moscow News interview was the first appearance of Poloshenko in public, but this does not mean that he will try to remain in the center of attention. He says, I'm not good at interviews. I find the role of a celebrity uncomfortable.
The next question was sent by Dean Rich, who lives in Wasco, Oregon. Tell us more about the new ANT-124 and giant ANT-225, which have recently made their world debut.
If you don't know what those letters stand for, I'll tell you that ANT-124 and ANT-225 are two giant transport planes recently built in the Soviet Union. You've got to be patient and listen to several figures that will prove that they are really big. In 1988, ANT-124, known as Ruslan, was the biggest transport plane. It is 30 meters, or about 100 feet long. A year later, it was surpassed by ANT-225, called Mria, which means dream in Ukrainian. It is capable of lifting a weight of 25 tons. It was used for transporting the Buran space shuttle to the Cosmodrome. The shuttle was attached to the back of Mria. According to designers, a column with a diameter of 30 feet and 210 feet long can be placed on that back. According to specialists, a riverboat can be placed inside the cargo compartment of Mria. Like any transport ship, it can carry passengers, 1,500 people, but experts say the weight would be too small. During the flight with Buran on its back, the plane set 110 world records, beating the recent records of Boeing 747-400. I think that's just fantastic. The only thing which I cannot understand is the size of the plant where the plane was assembled. Its length and wingspan are a little less than 100 meters, the regular distance for a sprinter's dash.
Dennis A. McBrookins of San Antonio, Texas, writes somewhat sarcastically, American government gives its citizens higher prices as a present for the new year. Does the government in the USSR do the same?
As you understand, there are many more goods in the Soviet Union, the prices of which are controlled by the government. However, unlike the United States, our price rises are usually not connected with seasons. The prices of so-called luxury articles, which have sometimes included carpets or certain types of china, are raised when appropriate decisions are taken. The prices of most goods, as well as public transport fares, the cost of utilities and rent, have remained unchanged for decades, often at an artificially low level. The economic reform prompts the necessity of revising the government policy of prices. Many economists say such a revision, alas, will inevitably result in price rises. The first big steps in this direction are expected to be made in summer. I'm afraid that if a public opinion poll were taken, many consumers would prefer to wait till January.
Brian Smith of Schuylkill Haven, Pennsylvania, has this question. How was the KGB founded and how does it perform?
The Committee for State Security, or the KGB, is the successor of the All-Russian Extraordinary Committee to Combat Counter-Revolution and Sabotage, founded in 1917, shortly after the Socialist Revolution. As is clear from its name, the purpose of the committee was to suppress actions against Soviet power. It combated sabotage in industry, profiteering, and abusive power, which means it performed also certain police functions. Both the functions and the name of the KGB have changed several times. For a long time, it was used by the authorities as an instrument of suppressing dissent. This was admitted only recently, but the first true step to greater openness of this most closed organization was the appearance of the KGB head, Vladimir Kruchkov, on national television. Shortly after that, several high-ranking KGB officials even took part in a live phone-in TV show. In these times of expanding democracy in this country, we hope that the KGB will perform only the functions of any security force, the protection of state secrets and counterintelligence. Though KGB involvement in the struggle against organized crime in the past 2 years has shown that today it is the most effective instrument of combating the shadow economy.
Our last question for today is from Alan L. Gilbert of Bethesda, Maryland. Being a student of cinema, I have noted that theoretical approaches to cinema within the context of Soviet ideology have changed with the progression of time. My question is this: what is the newly revised theory of Marxism? How does this updated doctrine compare with the theories forwarded by Stalin, Lenin, as well as Marx himself? And what impact does this revision have on the artist?
There is simply no answer to your first question. Even historians, to say nothing of politicians or philosophers, are now constantly arguing about the way to interpret the recent past of this country. There are still no new history books for schools or universities. As for ideological doctrines, the current leadership of the country has given up the theories of Stalin, while the views of Lenin and Marx will be further studied. With one reservation, their theories reflect the 19th and early 20th century, and at the end of the 20th century, many things are no longer acceptable in them. As for the impact of ideology on the arts, it is finally disappearing. I hope you will agree that a state ideology should not influence the life of an artist or his views. And there we end another edition of Mailbag. The answers to the question were prepared by Irina Solovtsova.
Thank you, Radio Moscow, for that abrupt ending there. We're here at WUSB. This is Brain Damage, and the program comes your way every Saturday night from midnight until... from 10 until midnight. That's it, yeah. Okay. I don't know what this is, but we have... we have trains, we've got music, we've got all kinds of neat things. And in a moment, we're going to have the news, and we'll be taking your phone calls. 632-6901.
Home and all the light.
Yeah, I'll bet you thought we were playing something pornographic, but we weren't. It's a train.
It's a good thing, too.
All trains are good things, I say. Mike, it's a surprise hearing your voice, because you live in Wisconsin, and here you are again.
Here I am on Long Island.
Just can't stay away from this place,
can
you?
On brain damage. No, I guess I can't, can I?
Well, there's nothing we can do to keep you out, so I guess you're here.
I'm here.
Yeah, well, welcome to Long Island.
It's good to be back.
Yes, it certainly is. Mike is here live in the studio. You just have to take my word for it. There's no real way we can prove that. But there is a way. If you call up and speak on the radio, he may very well say something in response, which means that he is, in fact, here. But, what kind of train are we on?
I don't know. You have the thing there, don't you?
I have the itinerary.
Yes.
There's the itinerary.
What number is this?
This is number...
Six?
Six, yeah.
Oh, we're on board the 4449.
No, really? The 4449?
That 4449.
Oh, how about that?
Yes,
folks, I wish you could see this.
It's the Southern Pacific Daylight Engine.
Well, that certainly is a trip in itself. Okay, let's see what we got here. We've got news. Why don't you start off with that? And you can have that, too, and I'll take this. Okay.
Which one do you want me to start with?
Oh, I don't know. Whatever you feel comfortable starting with. We have the official news for you folks, and then we're going to have some fun. Uh-oh.
Rescue workers count 10 deaths and 12 people injured in a cargo plane crash in a residential section of Guatemala's capital. As they tell it, several houses were destroyed when a U.S.-bound DC-6 crashed in Guatemala City today. Among the dead in the fiery Central American crash, the plane's crew of three. Rescuers say they have recovered at least seven other bodies. Word has it that the rescue efforts are being hampered by a series of explosions caused by several home propane... not propane... gas tank.
It's very strange hearing about a plane crash while on a train.
The Mexican news agency Notimex quotes authorities as reporting at least 16 people killed.
How do you spell that news agency?
Notimex.
I see. Okay. Oh, you want me to read something now? Okay. Soviet President Gorbachev didn't wait long to reject Latvia's move toward independence.
Oh, no?
That's surprising. I thought he was going to accept it. Because there were a lot more...
laid
back than Lithuania was.
Well, but still he didn't accept Lithuania. What made you think he'd accept Latvia?
Because Latvia said we're willing to give this time, which is what Gorbachev said to Lithuania. He said, you know, you guys have to be not so obstinate. So Latvia came with a proposal, and they weren't as obstinate. But apparently he doesn't like that either. The Soviet news agency TASS says Gorbachev has denounced Latvia's independence effort as a violation of the Soviet Constitution and will...
No.
Yeah, that's what he said. And we'll let the man speak. And we'll lead toward a breakdown in ties between the central government and the Soviet republics. The report says Latvia could be subjected to unspecified political and economic pressures unless its parliament withdraws an independence declaration. That's unlikely, though, because the vote for that resolution was 138-0. That was with the Russian delegates abstaining, which he doesn't tell you here, but I know that.
Oh.
That's not all. Latvian economists say they're going to introduce a new currency for the republic. In a plan announced today, the economists say...
That was
going to
be a convertible currency, wasn't it?
I believe so. They'll be issuing $11 million in bonds and lottery tickets to underwrite the money. That's awfully interesting. Similar plans have been announced in two other Baltic republics seeking independence, but none of the new currencies has yet been produced. Your turn.
The other victims of the violence on the St. Regis Mohawk Reservation are still wondering when it will be safe to go home. Violence over casino gambling on the reservation has claimed the lives of two Mohawk men.
That's in New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. Like a civil war going on in New York State.
It's on the border, though, with Canada.
Is it in Canada, too?
I believe it's right on the border with Canada.
So where is it?
It's right in New York.
It's in New York?
It's on the New York side of the border with Canada. But the bloody nine-month battle has left countless living...
I'm going to reject your own comments there. To say, you know... Oh, a bloody... I thought it was like... Never mind.
But the bloody nine-month battle has left countless living victims who have lost their homes and the serenity of everyday life. Sharon Wheeler is one of those victims. The Mohawk woman fled the reservation in northern New York, along with hundreds of other Mohawks across... Many of them, hundreds of them, still remain in a refugee center... set up across the border in Cornwall, Ontario. Most are women and children. Today, the reservation along the U.S.-Canadian border, as I said, is populated by mostly pro-gambling Mohawks or a fence, or by fence straddlers who refuse to be intimidated by nightly gunfire, arson, and beatings. One woman who stayed behind admitted to being frightened by the violence, but she said if she was going to die, she wanted to do it in her very own house on her very own land. That's the news from the Mohawk Reservation.
Well, I think it's pretty interesting, actually, that this kind of thing is going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's going over some sort of a crossing there. So, there's more stuff going on, though. I don't know if I have it here, in fact. Something, well, you're in Wisconsin. I mean, I'm in Wisconsin now, but there's all this... all this stuff going on with Indians.
Yes, spearfishing.
Spearfishing. What is the... I heard this on the radio yesterday. Unfortunately, I don't have a story here. It's not important enough in the Associated Press's eyes. But there's this big controversy with spearfishing.
Well, yes, there is. Oh, the kid's handing you something there. Is there spearfishing in this thing here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Where?
Point it out to him. Point it out to him, kid.
Right here.
Okay. That's Gorbachev. What does Gorbachev do with spearfishing? Get out of here.
Get out of here, kid.
Get out of here, kid. See, go ahead. Finish talking about spearfishing.
And don't ever do this while we're on the air again.
Never. Go ahead.
There are a bunch of folks who are proponents of spearfishing, primarily the Native Americans living on the Chippewa Reservation up in northern Wisconsin. And it was in a treaty, one of the treaties that said that they can have this land that on which they live, that they can get to fish the lakes in the manner that they see fit, which is by spearfishing. It's a form of sport, but more than anything else, it's a form of sustenance for these Native Americans who live in Wisconsin. And there are factions in Wisconsin, the public at large, who think that this is a travesty of justice, who think it's a... They think that they're being taken to the cleaners. They think this is not fair that these Indians get to spearfish when any other normal American citizen cannot.
But it's bringing out more, I guess, prejudice on their side because of the way that they're going about this.
The way that who's going about
the,
what?
The opponents to the spearfishing. There's just a lot of anti-Indian rhetoric going on.
Oh, yes,
around.
There is. In fact, you'll see it written in restrooms all over the place as well.
What kind of things that you can say over the radio?
You can't.
None of them?
You can't say anything over... nothing that I've seen in restrooms can you say over the radio.
Uh-huh.
Although I saw one thing... Nah, I better not say that either.
You better not say that, but...
But it didn't really have anything to do with spearfishing either, so...
Well, I'm sure most of this doesn't have anything to do with spearfishing. It's,
No, it's not. It's just that... that there are people who think that the Indians are taking advantage of a treaty that was signed back hundreds of years ago.
Yeah, but aren't we kind of taking advantage of the Indians, you know, the way we sort of took over to their country?
That's what I think, but...
it's something else. Do you see a relation with this and what's going on in New York?
Not really, no, because there's two separate, completely different issues.
Yeah, but it's, you know, the Indians... in
factions,
the American culture.
There are two factions of Indians, in, if I'm not mistaken, in Upper New York State. One that favors gambling
right.
as a way of boosting the economy of a very poor area out there. The other half, the other side that says we should have honor and not have to resort to this this vice to support ourselves.
Uh-huh. Now, do U.S. laws apply within these areas? I mean, you know... somebody shoots somebody else there, did the Indian authorities take care of it, or did we move
Well, now, there was a murder there the other day. When
right,
I was
that's
there,
true.
Yeah, so it was being investigated by the FBI, the Canadian and New
right.
York State Police.
Really?
So, yeah, the Canadians, they got involved because it's on the border with Canada.
Well, you know, it's pretty close, this kind of thing happening, you know, right here. Civil unrest.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll keep an eye on that.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody knows anything about that,
is this train going
call.
Anywhere, incidentally, or is it just being repeated over
no,
and over?
No, it's. Again? I'm not doing anything to it. It's moving. It's train just going on and on, as far as I know.
Because I thought that we would actually be hearing some whistling by now.
Well, it's still on number six. I don't know why, but it is on number six.
What, how far are we into it?
3:20. There's nothing else on this.
Now what are we at?
2:52. I don't know why it's doing that.
You don't have it on repeat?
Do you see repeat lit here?
I can't see anything.
Well, it's not lit, okay? I don't understand how this is working at all.
Well, just fast forward it a little bit.
Okay, hold on. Here we go. It keeps going back to 252 no matter what I do. This thing's broken.
Now where are we?
We're at 219 now. But we shouldn't be talking about this over the radio. It's
well, at least we're hearing some whistling. We're hearing some whistling, though.
Yeah, we are, but I'll bet bottom dollar it's going to go right back to this later. But anyway,
okay, well, all I wanted to hear was a little bit of listening, that's all.
Okay, here
whistling.
We go. Whistling, yes.
Whistling Lister.
Where are we? Oh, contract talks in the Greyhound strike have ended for the day without a new session scheduled. A source close to the talks says it's not a good sign that negotiators did not agree on when to meet again, but federal mediators say they hope to set a new round of talks in a few days. Today's talks were the first since mid-March in the bitter two-month-old dispute. And organizers in Liverpool, England may be disappointed with the turnout at today's concert honoring the late Beatle John Lennon. 15,000 fans showed up in the hometown of the Fab Four. But producers had hoped for 45,000. In any case, Lennon's widow, Yoko Ono, calls it a great day. Proceeds from the concert are to benefit the Spirit Foundation, co-founded by Lennon 2 years before he was shot in New York City.
A Suffolk County high school student has been arrested and charged with using an illegally obtained, it says, illegally obtained telephone access number to make unauthorized long-distance telephone
calls. Ooh, that's interesting.
You're not in high school anymore, are you?
I'm not in high school. No, I haven't been in high school for quite some time.
Then this can't be about you.
No, it's not about me.
This is according to Suffolk County Police, who say they collaborated with the company Telecom USA in the investigation.
Telecom USA?
Tell us about that recognition.
Isn't
that you get.
Telecom USA the one that just merged with MCI?
I'm not sure.
Let's find out. Hold on.
Can we bring that up and we can hear?
Yes, we're going to do that right now. The good thing about this is they'll have no idea that we're on a train. That keeps repeating itself. Yes, hello. I need the toll-free 800 number for Telecom USA, please.
Okay, one moment.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Sir, what location, what division?
Oh, gosh. I guess...
sales.
Not sales, no. Just general information.
Okay, let me give you customer service.
Oh, yes,
that'd be good. Thank you.
Yeah,
moment. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Toll-free number is...
The toll-free number is 800-476-1234.
Oh, that's easy.
Repeat.
Okay.
800-476-1234.
All together now.
If you have further questions, a directory assistance operator will return.
Do we have a further question?
Yes, I'd like to hear that number again, actually, if she could run it through for us.
Okay.
Can she run it through again, or does she say it verbally?
I don't even know if she knows which number we're talking about. Uh-oh. If we're on the train, how come it's going from left to right?
Please hold.
Uh-oh.
Your call will be answered by the next available operator.
We're not on a train, obviously, now. We're outside.
Oh, well, when did we get off the train?
Please hold. Your call will be answered
why
by the next available operator.
Let's just call the number.
How is it?
Well, before we do it, we should say it. 800-476-1234.
Why are we giving out their phone number over the air?
It was a sing-along, wasn't it?
Well, that's true. That's also... free publicity for them, and I don't know if they deserve it.
Especially after what they're haranguing.
I think they charge over exorbitant rates, but that's just my personal opinion.
Why don't we ask them while they're on? Well, we better not.
Telecom USA, this is Robin. May I help you?
Yes, hi. Can you tell me, is yours the company that just merged with another company?
Excuse me?
Did your long-distance company just merge with MCI or something?
No, sir. That's not effective yet.
Okay, but when is that going to take place?
It's still up in the air.
Up in the air, eh? Okay.
Hey, Clay.
I was wondering if you could answer me one question. I just would like to know what Telecom USA charges for a call from, say, New York City to San Francisco.
Okay, it's going to depend on what kind of rate you're on.
Okay, let's say it was in the middle of the day.
Okay, it'll depend on what rate it is that you have. Do you already have an account with us?
No, but I was thinking of getting one.
Okay, what you'll need to do is dial 1-800-476-9000. on Monday and talk to somebody in the telemarketing department, and they could, they would pretty much go over things that would fit.
Being railroaded.
We have a number of different rates.
A number of different rates.
What determines which rate I would get?
Depends on how much usage you have.
Uh-huh. Well, I use the phone quite a bit, I think.
Okay. What does your monthly phone bill usually run?
Oh, about $6,000-$7,000.
Okay. You
it's local calls
would
only.
Be on one of the business rates. We have a first watch, business watch.
Those are all personal calls.
It's a lot of different ways.
But those are all personal calls. Does that make a difference?
No.
Okay, because I don't have a business of my own.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'd mind it.
So they're personal calls to your home phone?
Well, personal calls
from your home
to and from my friends and associates.
Okay.
So I believe it's nice to keep in touch with people. Unfortunately, all the people I know are spread out all across this land.
I really wouldn't be able to say which one would benefit you more. It's a lot of new things that telecom is coming out with, such as the calling card and a lot of other things.
Ooh, calling card.
A salesman would be able to go over with you those things more in detail. If you have that much usage, you would probably want to talk to a salesman one-on-one and have somebody come out and, explain all the different things
explain
that we
it.
Do offer and all the different rates and features that we do have.
You say come out? You mean somebody would actually come out to my location and talk to me about this?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's more than AT&T does.
They would do that.
Well, that's real good to know.
Set up an appointment with you and come out and talk to you about it and show you the different things that we do have and offer and are going to offer in the future and see what things would benefit you.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, gosh, that sounds real good. I'll give a call then Monday morning, bright and early.
Yeah.
Where are you located?
We're in Greenville, South Carolina. That's where I am now.
Uh-huh. Louisville, South Carolina?
Greenville. South Carolina.
Oh, okay, I know where that is. All right, thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Well, I guess so.
Now, wait a minute.
What?
I contend that if you had actually bills of $6,000 or $7,000 per month, you would have an AT&T salesman come around and service your account.
You think so?
Uh-huh.
Well, what would they need to do?
Just
come out and present me with my phone bill every month? it's just a simple matter of making calls. I don't know why they
have
to come
out. They give you a big sales presentation.
I don't want a presentation. I just want a dial tone. Is that much to ask for? Well, why don't you continue with your story?
What happened to the rest of the train there?
I don't know what's wrong with this thing.
Well, there's...
There. You happy?
Much better.
Should I keep it at that volume?
That would be good.
I don't think that would be good for the equipment. Or our ears, for that matter.
16-year-old Richard Llewellyn, a resident of Sound Beach and a student at Rocky Point High School, is charged with 7 counts of theft of services. Should we call him?
No, I don't think that's a good idea.
The police say over 500 calls were made over a 2-month period with the stolen access code. A 3-day investigation led to Llewellyn, who was processed and released from the 6th Precinct in Coram after his 3:30 p.m. arrest.
Arrest somebody for making phone calls. That's interesting.
500 of them.
500 phone calls.
Using a stolen access card, allegedly. Remember, the operative word here is allegedly.
That's true.
No, it's guilty until proven innocent.
In this country, it is. Did you hear about Robert Morris, the computer worm person?
No,
to 3 years probation, no prison time.
Did he have a fine involved as well?
$10,000 fine, but that fine could have been $250,000.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought it was a $5,000 fine.
No, and he could have been sent to jail for 5 years for writing that program. For writing a program, he can get sent to jail.
Now he's not related to the tobacco company, is he?
Why would he be related to the?
Oh, that's Philip Morris. I'm sorry.
No. But that was an interesting case. I was following that with quite a bit of interest, actually.
Lots of vigor, I know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, enough of that.
No more news?
I don't think so. We've got a 3-page weather forecast here, but I don't think we're going to get into that. Why don't we just...
Sure we do.
No, you're not going to read all that. We got to call Albania.
Listen to this.
What?
The highest precipitation today was 2.01 inches in Columbia, South Carolina, not terribly far from where our representative was. Important. We should have asked her about that.
Good evening. What's on your mind?
Yes. Are you interviewing the Sons of Elvis?
The Sons of Elvis? Where are they?
Are they in your studio?
Anybody see the Sons of Elvis around here?
I think no.
I don't think they're here. Are they supposed to be here?
Goodbye.
Oh, sorry. What was that all about? I wish I knew.
Wait a minute. Wasn't the kid who was here related to one of them because the other one said he saw Elvis?
I don't know what's going on around here. Good evening. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Eric.
Yo.
I called in your BAI show a couple of weeks ago.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Talking about telephone company, and I don't know. I asked you a question, and you were explaining how to get this service that's better than call waiting. It's only like $5 a month more, and they put in two lines.
Well, basically, what I was explaining was just an auxiliary phone line, which is another phone line, but you call it an auxiliary line. They charge you the full rate to install a phone, but they only charge you about $5 a month as a line charge instead of whatever it is, like around 20 or something.
How much would that, let's see, what would you call it if I was to call up the telephone company and request it?
You'd say you want an auxiliary line placed on your main number.
Uh-huh.
And if you want to call hunting, which is what happens when the first line is busy, if you wanted to jump to the second line,
yeah,
that's free. That's a free service. You mentioned that you want that. And just say you want an auxiliary line, and they'll do it. They might not know what you're talking about right away, but they'll have to do that because they do offer that service.
Yeah, that's great service. All right, thanks a lot.
Okay. 632-6901. You want to take this other one?
Go ahead.
All right. Good evening. What's on your mind?
Oh, this is Andrew Goldberg.
Hey, how are you? It's been a long time since we heard
maybe,
your voice.
Maybe
I've been
sick
and in Pennsylvania and Florida and all across the United States. So.
Andrew.
Well, if you go all over the United States like that, you're bound to get sick.
Andrew.
Mike Uhas is here.
Hey, Andrew, how you doing?
Oh, good.
Hey, are we interviewing the Sons of Elvis tonight?
I invited them over to the studios, without your permission or anything, but...
Who are the Sons of Elvis?
What?
Who are the Sons of Elvis?
I really don't know, but...
Well, what do they look like?
Well, why would you have invited them if you don't know who they are?
Well, they called me up and they said we're related to Elvis, so they're related sons of Elvis, like really his sons.
It's sons of something. I don't know if it's Elvis, but any other comments or things going on in your life that you want to share with us?
Oh yeah, I was just reading the National Examiner, and the cover reads, "Tipsy Granny's wheelchair causes four car smash-up. Now judge orders her to walk on crutches."
Well, that's maybe there's nothing more we can add to that. Listen, we want to call Albania.
Okay.
We've got tripods coming up at 11 o'clock, and I understand you've worked out a special interview, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay, do you know...
Should we say who it is?
We'll say in a second. Andrew, thanks for calling. We'll hear from you again soon.
Okay, say hi.
Oops, sorry, I pressed the button too soon, but we'll say hi to everybody we see from now on, just in case that's who you meant. We had Blanche Forthright last week.
Did you?
The actress that plays Kathy Tripod. Yeah, she, I actually talked to her.
Yeah, I heard about that. No, I wasn't privy to any of that. Did you have a nice discussion with her?
I think so, yeah. I think I kind of... she was doing her laundry, actually. It was interesting. But
she probably
yeah.
didn't want her delicates to get wrinkled or something.
Something like that.
Huh.
It was nice. Very nice for her to take time out. In fact, she said she was going to be in New York. I imagine she's going to be at the Night of 100 Stars, which is tonight. I think that's she was performing in that.
Oh.
And
the Night of 101.
I had also read somewhere she was going to be in the last performance of Chorus Line, but I don't see how that could have been because that was last Saturday, and she was talking to me on the phone from her California home.
Be sure you weren't on tape last week.
I was here. No, I was here live.
Oh.
But you've gone...
You know, technology can make you go crazy at times.
It sure can. You're never in quest to top me, though. You've gone and arranged an interview with yet another superstar related to the Tripod family.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and Don Topeka. I don't know if I'd consider him a superstar, and I don't think I can top you with Don Topeka.
Well, I think...
I think Blanche Forthright...
Next to Joel Block, Don Topeka has got to be one of the most household word-related type items around here.
No, I think even more than Joel Block. But I guess...
Wait, you're saying Joel Block isn't a superstar?
Not as much as Don Topeka, but I'm saying Kathy Tripod, the person who played Kathy Tripod, that was more of a coup on your...
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course, of course.
And I'm not trying to top you, but yes, we do have the Don Topeka interview, I think... When are we going to call him? That's like coming up in the next couple of minutes after we call
him. You know, these clocks are all messed up here. This clock is 20 to 11, but it's really 10 to 11, I think.
I have 49.
22, 49. Boy. Every week, the clock is 5 minutes slower. It's incredible. And
what about that
people are slower, too.
What about that digital one you have?
The what?
The digital clock.
Digital clock?
Yeah, yeah.
Digital one, I assume, is right, but it's impossible to tell.
Call the time.
You can't call the time from these phones. It's blocked out. You believe me now?
I suppose so.
Well, take that look off your face as if you don't believe me.
I believe you already.
All right.
I believe
you. You believe me. Well, that's what you get if you try calling the time from around here. So, we're not going to do that. Let's call Albania instead. We want to get directory information?
We know the number.
We know the number, but let's see if we can get directory information anyway.
Okay.
Because
and see if it comes up with the same number.
Service to Albania has started.
Hello, Genesis, may I help you?
Yes, good evening. I need overseas information, please. One moment for an operator who can assist you.
One moment for an operator who can assist you.
You've done this before.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
you have done this before.
We're
a team, yes.
AT&T Fran, may I help you?
My friend.
Yes, hello. We need overseas information, please, for Albania. It's never been done before live on the radio and may not be done tonight.
Yes, sir, and what's the party you need to speak with?
I'm looking for the number for Radio Tirana. That's T-I-R-A-N-A in the capital city. T-I-R-A-N-A, that's the capital city.
One moment.
Thank you. This is the closest we've ever come, folks. The closest we've ever come live to calling Albania on the radio. It looks like the call may actually go through, and at this very moment, we might actually make a phone ring over there. Wouldn't it be something?
That'd be something.
If I succeed, I'll probably have to leave because there's nothing else for me to do.
But pay the bill.
Well, it's free to call information over there.
Well... Uh-oh. You're calling Albania. We have no service to Albania.
Well, they told me earlier today that they have instituted service over there.
Oh, really? What has happened since yesterday?
What happened yesterday?
Oh, I walked in today and everything's changing.
Oh, yeah, the world is a changing place.
Well, yes. That's why I'm going to check it, because coding is different in the United Kingdom. Everything is different today.
Uh-huh. They said, what's different? Oh, the new area code in London, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know about that. But they said only operator-assisted calls are going through. That's a help.
Checking.
Tell her the country code. You know that.
Yeah, but that's not going to do any good.
Bear with me, please.
Okay, I know the country code is 355. I don't know if that helps.
Well, that does help.
All right. You're right. Okay.
The computer isn't caught up, and I just walked in. Let me check something, okay? Please hold.
Okay, no problem. We'll just chat away about something else. So, Mike.
It's good thing she doesn't give us music on hold.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
No, I don't
I have
so.
A phone that does that. You press the hold button, uh-huh. And you get a little synthesizer-type hold music. It only lasts about 5 seconds, and it repeats itself.
Does it go doo-doo?
People on the other end invariably start screaming after about 30 seconds.
I'm going to get my supervisor. Could you hold a moment?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I'll be right there with you.
Okay. Thought you'd get the supervisor because you were humming. And that's not allowed when you're talking to the operator. Never hum when you talk to the operator.
I wasn't humming. I was
afraid.
I was doodling. Doody, doody, doody.
Well, don't do that. It's a serious business, Mike.
I know it's serious, but we're on hold. So, I mean, what do you...
We're also on the radio, okay? We're on hold on the radio. You can't get more serious than that.
And there's trains going by.
Yeah, lots of them. Big trains. Not these little ones. Big, real trains.
Perhaps you can have a diesel-powered train go by.
Well, if you tell me where to find a diesel-powered train, I'll be happy to find one. Fine, no problem. Coming up, a diesel-powered train.
Oh, listen to that bell. Listen to that static.
Uh-oh. I think the diesel will get here first to the supervisor. The supervisor run on diesel power?
The supervisor will get here just as we're blowing the horn in her ear.
Hope Don Topeka's not waiting for your call.
Should I get in the other studio and start dialing?
No, let's finish this first. I'm sure he'll understand.
Okay.
Ooh. Where else can we bring you supervisors, diesels, and Albania all in one? And the tripods.
Too bad this isn't pledge week. We could really ask for pledges with that one.
We'd probably get them, too.
The best part is, after this train...
Sir?
Uh-oh. Yes.
Okay. I've got it.
You got it. Great.
These things do change.
So there is service over there now, eh? Good Lord.
And what'd you say it was... What number do you have?
Okay, the number I'm trying to get is Radio Tirana. T-I-R-A-N-A. And that's in the capital city of Tirana.
You had a number, though.
355 is the country code. And that's something that very few people know.
Unless you happen to listen to Brain Damage.
Okay,
yeah.
Next time you want to call here, just tell them operator 160-355, okay?
160-355.
Hey,
got it.
That's an access number that we have to an operator that's in another state, and they connect.
What state?
We don't. They do. They're specifically set up for all calls to this area.
Is that in Pittsburgh, by chance?
Maybe. It's 160-355. That's an IOC operator.
Okay.
IOC, yeah.
Okay.
It's not in Springfield, Mass.
One moment.
Might be in Springfield.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry.
Hold on.
Okay.
We should ask this 160-355 operator where they locate.
Well, it's probably a deep baritone ring. Like that. And if so, I think that's Pittsburgh. It might be Springfield, Mass. It might even be White Plains.
Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the ring I was thinking.
Is that your deep baritone?
Yeah, it's a little too loud. That's why it sounds like that. It's a little more high pitch than it used to be. That's
maybe
a mechanical ring.
Maybe he's off his hormones or something.
Now, am I supposed to talk to this person, or is she going to talk to this person?
Why don't you ask?
Oh.
Or you could always
it's a moot point if they don't pick up.
You could always flash your plunger to get your
arm. Oh, not on these phones you can. You flash your plunger. First of all, you don't have a plunger. If you flash anything on this phone, it hangs up.
No more plunger.
Okay, sir, they're not answering right now, but it's no problem. You just have to try in a little while. It means probably too many calls are going in right now.
Yeah, it's just about 11 o'clock.
Yeah. So just please keep trying and just use that number 160. Just say IOC 160-355, okay?
So, okay, the operator picks up, says AT&T can help you. I say operator 160-355.
They'll know exactly right away.
Okay, and she'll know what to do with that.
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, and have a good evening.
All right.
Goodbye.
Well, okay, folks, what do we say that after we do the tripods and everything, we come back, we call an AT&T operator, and we say 160-355 and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to try that.
Let's do it.
But we've got Don Topeka. I assume he's sitting at his home waiting for us to call him.
Is he still living in central Illinois?
I don't know. You've got his number. What's the area code?
319.
Where's that? I don't know.
Well, maybe it's 309.
Why don't you get him? Why don't you get him?
Okay,
on the phone?
I'll go in the other studio.
I'll play. I've got a song queued up. There it is. You call Don. We'll come back in a few minutes with the interview with Don Topeka, and the tripods are coming up too. Coming up with an episode. I know. Don't worry. And our phone number is 632-6901. Well, we sound a bit muddled here because, we're more than a bit muddled. Mike Uhas is standing over there. This is Eric Corley. Program is Brain Damage. If you don't know why, it's your problem. 632-6901 is our phone number, area code 516. Coming up, the tripods, Don Topeka, and Albania, and your phone calls. But right now, the specials.
We'll be right back.
Well, I don't know if anybody remembers that, but Span called, well, not a band, but a guy called Rico with Destroy Them off the two-tone album called Jama Rico.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's quite a lot of interesting stuff there. It's off the Two-Tone Story record I got when I was over in England, and I think you can find it in the village if you look around hard enough. I think it's even on CD.
You found that? You say you bought that in the UK?
Yes, I did. Mm. Yeah, in fact, I went to Tower Records in the UK.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's an amazing place. Well, it's just as amazing as it is anywhere else, I guess, but it's...
You know, in all my time being alive, I think I've only gone to one Tower Records, and that was in Philadelphia a couple of years ago.
Is that so?
Mm. Yeah, we don't have them in Wisconsin, sorry.
Have you ever been to Europe?
No, you know, I've never been out of this country at all.
You know, you should. You live so close to Canada, for God's sake.
Well, that's about a five-hour drive, something like that.
Well, you should go. I don't know what you're waiting for.
When you were coming down from Canada, how long did it take you to get to Wisconsin, or where I live?
Well, across the border. I was in Michigan, then I was in Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, but the time you were in Canada to when you got to my place...
It took about 6 or 7 hours, didn't it?
Well, maybe I ought to do that someday.
You should.
Yeah.
Canada's a very nice country. I enjoyed it immensely.
You don't need a passport or anything to go in, right?
Well, you might need some kind of identification. Usually they ask you a question, like, you know, what's your favorite color, and if you get that wrong, they shoot you over to Canada or something.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah.
But,
They can tell if you're lying right away.
They can tell right away.
Yeah,
so just answer whatever question it is they ask you. You don't know what it is they're going to be asking you, but whatever they do ask, make sure you tell the truth.
Okay, yeah, okay. Well, maybe I'll do it.
Don't mess up, you know. Mm. Anyway, did you get through to Don?
Yeah, he's on hold right now.
Oh, I didn't mean to keep the interview. Okay, because we have several calls about the tripods. People do want to hear the next episode. So.
And how does this work? I haven't been here for a while. I just turn up this silver dial. Is that it?
I guess. Okay. I'm not in that other room. You're going to be talking to Don mostly, but I don't know.
Hmm.
Well, give it a try. If something goes wrong, maybe I'll come in and help.
Okay. So I'll see. I just have to say, hello, Don. Are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Don.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, Don Topeka.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me, Don?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Hi, Don. This is Mike Uhas calling from WUSB Stony Brook. Sorry for keeping you on hold like that.
Oh, that's okay. I was away from the phone for a little bit myself.
Oh. So we call you, put you on hold, and you put us on hold. You sure showed us, huh?
Yes.
I think Eric's in there.
You should be on brain damage more often, I think.
Eric, just want to introduce you to Don Topeka. Eric, this is Don Topeka. Don Topeka, this is Eric Corley.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Good. Now that we got that out of the way, Don, tell us what you've been doing with your life the last couple of years. It's been a while since the Tripod family were produced.
Gardening mostly. It's been slow in the radio drama world over the last several years. However, there are rumors that things will get back into swing soon.
Oh, really?
I certainly hope so. Yes.
Well, you know, it's been a while. There's been a dearth of, as you say, radio drama lately. So what Eric here has done, and Eric I think can elaborate on this a little bit more.
Yeah.
Eric has gone ahead and contracted with your company, the production company, again to rerun.
Well, Mike, I don't quite know.
Is that a fact?
What? I'm sorry, Eric. You were saying.
I just don't know if you want to. It's not quite official yet. I really shouldn't be talking about this right now.
Sorry. Well, Don, if you heard anything that you shouldn't have heard, you didn't hear it. That's for sure.
I'm not sure exactly how that works. It's not, you know, that would be something. Agent people, you know, the agents work on that kind of thing, lawyers and agents.
So then do you get, this is kind of confusing, I'm not sure how this works, do you actually get royalties if for rebroadcasts later on?
Well, we're supposed to get royalties, but the checks haven't been coming the way they're supposed to, and they blame them on the mail, and I know it's not the mail, I know there's more to it than that, but it's something that always happens when you're involved with superstars and things like that. I've got the gardening, so at least I have something to fall back on.
What? Tell me, do you have azaleas down? Where are you in Canada?
Oh, yes, I very much am.
Uh-huh, you're in Ontario, I thought, up around Concord, I think it was, wasn't it?
Oh, it's a pleasant part, rather, you know, suburban to a degree, but not too much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fast-paced kind of a person.
I don't want to get into this gardening stuff too much, but I know that we have a big constituency of listeners here that are very much into gardening. Could you just tell us what you have? Is it mostly flowers or vegetables? Or?
Sit down, Nellie.
Oh, is that your dog?
Yes.
Nellie, did you say your dog's name was Nellie?
Nellie, yes. Nellie is, she's getting rather old now. She's 13 years old.
And what did you name her after?
Well, gosh, I didn't know you were going to be talking about this. I'm not prepared to answer questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, okay. Well, if you could, then at least tell us what you are gardening then now.
Sit down, please. I'm sorry. It takes quite some time to sit down. And she's a large dog, so when she moves in circles before she sits down, she knocks over things. And I'm just much happier when she finally does sit down.
I see.
She's down now. Okay. So I'm sorry. What were you saying?
Can you tell us what you have in your garden now?
Well, right now the garden isn't. Nothing has come up yet. It's
well, right. But have you prepared it? Have you plowed? Have you tilled your soil?
Yes, I've cleared off quite a bit of earth, and there are things planted in there. I there's no real reason to go into the details here because, well, I'm not that good a gardener.
I see. Well, now, if we could get back to the episodes of the tripod.
Yeah, if we could talk about maybe the actual series or something, I think that'd be better.
Now, it's been is it almost 10 years since the first episodes of the Tripod Family?
Yes, I was first approached to do the tripods in 1979.
Oh, really?
1979.
Mm-hmm.
They had originally approached Dick Cavett, I know, to do the introduction to the series, but he was previously engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And I was available for that. I had just finished work on some other projects over in the Philippines.
Can you give us an idea of some of the things? Were they in English?
Yes, they were, in fact. Documentaries, things about milk cartons, production of milk cartons.
I see.
And paper clips, things like that. Educational films.
Is there much of a...
The narrator for various educational films. And I'm not quite sure how... I know Steven Spielberg had been over in the Philippines at one point, and he happened to see one of my films, and he was very, very impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Word of his impressions reached Jonathan Ogilarch, who, of course, is the person behind the tripods.
Right.
And he was determined to have me at any cost, and he did.
At any cost, huh? So then this was a... this probably isn't any of my business, but this was a pretty lucrative contract for you then.
Yes, I would say so.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to go into too many details.
No, I don't really care to pry either.
We shouldn't pry, I don't think. might even be illegal to pry.
So since the Tripod Family, have you been back over to the Philippines?
I'm sorry?
I say, since the Tripod Family, have you been back over to the Philippines?
Well, there's been a lot of unpleasantness over there, and I don't like a lot of unpleasantness. As I said, I'm an easygoing kind of person. That's why I moved to Canada. There's a lot less unpleasant things here.
Now the tripod, I'm sorry, the Topeka family name, you are related to the people who founded the city in Kansas, aren't you?
Oh, yes. My double-great-grandfather, in fact.
Your double-great-grandfather?
Well, yes, that's a Canadian term.
Uh-huh.
I imagine you would probably call it great-great-grandfather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We call it double-great. I take on a lot of the Canadian expressions. They make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Double-great-grandfather was, in fact, the person for whom Topeka was named.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a legacy behind the Topeka family.
Hmm. So now, why did you settle up in Canada? Have you been there long, or did you... I'm sorry, this is some part I never really got straight.
Well, it's something I've pretty much deliberately kept to myself. There have been a lot of family problems and petty squabbling and bickering about various things, such as royalties and payments of certain debts and obligations, and I think that...
Do you think
listeners would really be interested in?
Do you think that after you die,
I'm interested. I don't know about.
Do you think that after you die that there'll be a series of books about you about you by your children?
Well, I would hope not, because there's a lot of things that I've asked them not to talk about, and I hope that they don't.
Hmm. Okay. Eric, I know you had a...
The impressionist would be more about the radio program.
Right. I know Eric has a few questions that he'd like to ask you.
Well, I guess, really the thing I'm most interested in is, the new tripods. Are there things in the works?
I'm sorry, was that directed to me?
Yes.
The new tripods are in the... Well, there's not much detail we can give out, obviously, at this point, but there are contracts being flown about, and I have received mine, and if this does happen, I might be able to actually build a larger garden over here and It would be very nice.
Mm-hmm. When you do your radio work, did you actually have to go into the studio and sit with these people as they're reading their story, or is that edited in from a remote location?
Well, at the beginning, and I think, what episodes have you been running in the last few
weeks?
I'm
not sure. Eric, can you tell us which?
If I'm not mistaken, the one we're going to hear tonight is the one where Uncle Jonathan makes his first appearance.
Ooh. Oh, so you're still in the early ones, the early episodes. I believe, yes, you're probably within the first several. Mm-hmm. And that was when we were all pretty much sort of together as a family. We ate lunch together. We went out on trips together. We all were around for each other. But then about the fourth or the fifth episode, we grew much more distant and apart, and the magic was gone. The magic was gone in the fourth or fifth episodes. And,
well, how many episodes were there all told?
Oh, there were at least 100, so by that time we pretty much couldn't stand to be in the same state.
And yet you're talking about a new series of the Tripod Family that's going to feature the same people? Are you still on speaking terms now, or?
Michael, time heals.
Uh-huh.
And lots of people forget things that were said in the passion of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope that's true. I know it's true in my case. I can't remember who said what about me. I just remember some of the nasty things that were said, but I don't quite remember who said them.
Don, I have to say, you say that with such emotion. I'm starting to get all choked up in here.
You're not alone, Mike.
What Steven Spielberg saw in me was the emotion.
Mm.
And I'd like to think that that's something that I've been able to pass along to the listeners as well.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that we're able to work together as a team because, well, gosh darn it all, it's one of the finest teams in Hollywood, I thought.
Mm.
And it's a shame that it had to end when it did. And I do hope that we're able to salvage some of it and get back on track.
Well, let's look
for... The story should be written.
Yes, let's do look for the...
God bless that,
the,
yes.
The new Tripod Family episodes coming up perhaps within a couple of months. Or do you have a timetable?
Yeah, when do you expect the actual series to begin production?
Well, it's hard to say because the contracts are still being flown about and some of them are getting lost in the mail and there's things like rentals, studio rentals and renting cars.
Cars? You need to rent cars?
Right, facilities. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We have to rent cars and airplanes because people have to be transported.
Mm-hmm.
People have to be transported. Blanche will simply not go to a studio unless she has a limousine.
Hey, can you maybe fill us in? Last week, Eric had spoken with Blanche on the air, and she mentioned something about a little bit of a squabble between herself and the gentleman, Wilburn LaRose, who played her husband, Howard Tripod. Can you?
Yes, well, Blanche and Willie had quite a stormy relationship, both on and off the microphone.
Uh-huh.
And it was, there were quite a lot of sordid affairs going on behind the scenes, but Willie has, I don't want to get in trouble for saying this or anything like that, but Willie does have a violent temper.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't come across in Howard Tripod's that he portrays.
No, Howard Tripod seems very kind and
but
meek, maybe.
You see, Michael, that's the mark of a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
If an actor is able to go completely crazy and violent and hurt people quite a bit, but yet on stage or on the microphone portray someone who is loving and kind, that man has my respect as a good actor.
I see. Yes, very much so.
Makes a lot of sense to me.
That's very well said. I'm going to hate to have to cut this short, Don, but we have the phone lights are lighting up here.
Yes, well, I would say for the new episodes, it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, scripts too. We need someone to write the scripts. That's of course
we could save
that to the last moment.
Who,
I suppose.
Who did all the writing? Was it a consortium of?
It was written out. We farmed it out to a large staff of people throughout the country who.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, all prefer to be anonymous. I'm not quite sure why that is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think I might have an inkling as to that.
Mm-hmm. But Eric, well, maybe you can tell us later. Well, thank you very much, Don. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Eric, did you have anything else? Yeah, I guess that's the last we've heard of. We're going to hear of Don.
Sorry, I dropped the telephone.
Oh, you are still back. Eric, did you have anything else to say to Don?
I'm sorry. I was taking another call.
So, did you have any questions? Any other?
No. I'm fine here. Are we going to get into the next episode of the Tripod?
I think we are. Let's say goodbye to Don Topeka. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, Mr. Topeka.
Well, thank you very much, Michael, and thank you, Aaron.
That's Eric.
Eric, thank you very much. And hopefully, you'll be hearing the sounds of my voice in a more current manner over your airwaves.
Well, we know for sure that we're going to hear the sounds of your voice within a few seconds here. Thanks very much, Don.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
he does have a way with the phone, doesn't
he? Yeah, it certainly does.
Well, okay. We do have, we've been getting a number of calls, people that want us to get on with the tripods already. And I believe what we have here is the most recent, of course, it's the most recent in our series.
Is this episode 4 or 5? Or
I think it's episode 3.
Oh,
yeah, it's episode 3, and this is the one where Uncle Jonathan makes his first appearance.
Okay, let's do it.
So this is a milestone in the tripod legacy. The Tripod Family presented here on WUSB, exclusively on WUSB, and we'll be back taking your phone call, 632-6901, right after this. And this is going to be Don's voice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, how about that?
Let's do it.
All right, 21 minutes after 11 o'clock, this is Brain Damage.
Radio Free Long Island, in coordination with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, presents the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the Long Island suburbs. When we left our friends last week, Kathy had just opened a letter from her Uncle Jonathan in California, which revealed that he was coming out that day. And as we join our friends today, we hear Kathy say,
"Well, that must be him now."
"Yes, I guess it is. Do you want me to get it?"
No. That's all right, dear. I'll go."
"Listen, Kathy, Howard, I really don't want to intrude on your family affairs."
No, you're not intruding."
No, not at all. You can stay if you want to."
"After all, you're practically one of the family by now anyway."
"Well, I appreciate that, but I really have a lot of work to do. I think I'm going to put a Long Island Loves Newsday sticker on my mailbox."
"Well, you know what's best, Charlie."
"Sure do, Mr. T. I'll leave through the back door. I guess I'll see you all later."
"Yes, so long, Charlie."
"Yeah, take it easy, Charlie."
"Bye, Charlie. What a nice neighbor he is."
"Yeah, it kind of makes me glad we moved out here to Long Island."
"Well, I don't know if I'll ever be happy about moving out here. I mean, Charlie's a nice guy and all that, but Big Bear City was..."
"Pop, how many times do we have to go through this?"
"Yes, come on. Enough with Big Bear City.
Yeah.
We're here to start a new life."
"After all, Pop, it's been almost 3 months since we moved out here. I'd think you'd start to come around by now."
"Well, I don't know how in tarnation you two expect me to change my mind. Confound it all. I was born and raised in Big Bear City. I lived there 75 years without leaving it once."
"Yes, that is true."
"And now I'm supposed to just drop everything and forget all about it?"
"Yeah, he is right in the way, Kathy. I still think of Big Bear City every now and then. I wonder what's going on there right now."
"Oh, the Jupiter trees are probably in full bloom by now. I can almost smell the fragrance."
"Yes, they were lovely. And did you know that Big Bear City is the only place in the world where they grow?"
No, that's wrong."
"Oh?"
"Yeah, I read in a book somewhere that they grow in Dahomey as well."
"Where?"
"Dahomey. It's in Africa."
"Oh, I think you mean Benin."
No. I saw it in print, and it was definitely Dahomey."
"Yes,
D-A-H-O-M-E-Y.
That may be so, but you see, they changed the name of the country a few years ago. It used to be called Dahomey. Now it's Benin."
"You must be joking. I mean, they changed the name of an entire country?"
"Well, it's not that big to start with. I think it's about half the size of Rhode Island thereabouts."
"Yes, but if they can do it there, that means they can do it here, too. Imagine..."
Imagine if
we wake up someday and they change the name of the country to Uranus or Pluto or something."
"Well, I doubt if they could do that. I mean, you usually have to have a revolution or something before you change the name. Now, I don't think we're going to have one of those, at least not for a while."
"But I never heard of such a thing, where they actually change the name of an entire country. I mean, it sounds crazy, kind of silly."
"It happens all the time, Kathy."
"Yeah, all the time."
"Yeah, there are lots of examples. Iran used to be called Persia. Bangladesh was part of Pakistan."
"And Germany was once called Prussia. I can remember that."
"Remember the Belgian Congo?"
"Yeah."
"Yeah, now that's called Zaire."
"It was."
"And the Central African Republic used to be the Central African Empire."
"Really?"
"Yeah, and before that it was the Central African Republic again."
"A long time ago, France was known as Gaul."
"I didn't know that one, Bob."
"I didn't either. Frankly, I didn't know any of those. But then again, why should I? I'm just a housewife, that's all, from California. And now I'm on Long Island, starting a new life."
"Speaking of Gaul, is that someone I see trying to climb through our front window?"
"Oh, yes. My gosh, it's Uncle Jonathan. We forgot he was out there at the front door this whole time."
"We better help him get in."
"I'm a couldn't help that bum with anything except getting him a one-way ticket on a plane heading west.
Here, take my hand, Uncle Jonathan.
We're so sorry we left you out there.
Oh, it's all right, Kathy. I needed the fresh air. My, you look more gorgeous every time I set eyes on you.
Why, thank you, Uncle dear.
Did you have a nice trip out, Uncle Jonathan?
Oh, I'll get that.
Yes, it was pleasant. I rented a jet that had a sauna on it, and
yes.
I spent most of my time there.
Yes,
I also played a little tennis, and
Uncle Jonathan, it's for you.
Oh, let me take care of that. Oh, but while I'm on the phone, I'd like you to think over what I came out here to discuss, Howard.
Here it comes.
I understand that a while back you did some work in the movies.
I didn't know that.
Well, it really wasn't that much. I was just one of the people walking down the street at the end of Godspell.
That's something you never told me about it.
I knew somebody who's had some sort of experience to star in a major motion picture I'm producing. I think you have all the qualifications, Howard. So think it over while I'm on the phone, and let me know what you think.
Howard, a major motion picture.
I'm flabbergasted. I don't know what to say.
You two ought to be ashamed saying all those things about your Uncle Jonathan. I knew he'd come through. I knew it. I just knew it.
And so, as Uncle Jonathan finally makes his appearance, he makes a surprise offer to Howard. And you want to be with us next time when we'll hear Howard say, "You want to film it where?" That's next time on The Tripod Family, presented in coordination with the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
Yes, on the train. Madness there with the Prince. The Prince. Why did I say it that way? The Prince.
The Prince.
The Prince. Yeah, whatever. Here on WUSB and preceded by the Tripod. Sorry for getting it on so late, folks. I know we almost interfered with Saturday night, actually. Yeah. You don't want to put the Tripods on after Saturday night.
No.
NBC complains.
They cannot compete.
No.
There's no competition.
We don't want to do that. 632-6901 is our telephone number. We know there's people out there. We know you have something to say.
A lot of you are ringing us incessantly.
Insistently. Keep it up. We like it.
Continually.
We like to be abused.
Ad infinitum.
Now, we're going to do the Albania thing now?
Why not?
Okay, well, now, to update, we called an operator, we called the AT&T people, and they said to simply say to an AT&T operator...
that you would like operator 160355.
No, I think there's a comma there. I think operator, I would like 160355.
Ah.
In other words, that's the routing code.
Oh, routing code.
Well, she assured us that the operator would know what we meant if all we said was 160355. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to call them up and say, 160-355, please. Now,
you're going to put them to the test.
The first operator we're going to get is not going to be an AT&T operator. That's going to be a New York telephone operator. So we'll have to ask her for AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise...
Could we ask for a Sprint operator?
No, you can't do that.
New York telephone, Miss Austin, may I help you?
Yes, can I have MCI, please?
I don't have any way to connect you. You need to dial an access code to reach that operator.
How about AT&T?
Let's see what I can give you.
One moment for an operator who can assist you.
One moment for an operator who can assist you.
Thank you. You wonder, there's got to be still a connection between those two companies. I mean, they can only connect you to AT&T, but not MCI.
Hmm. AT&T.
Yes, 160355, please.
What country is it?
Uh-huh. Albania. See, she didn't know what I was talking about.
Well, at least she knew that you were trying to...
It is funny, though. You say 160355, and they say what country...
I think we dialed it now.
Okay. She sounds real happy with her job, doesn't she?
She seems like she just rolled in off a bender or something.
One moment, please, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Operators can be so helpful.
Yeah, sure can. I got nothing better to do than just sit here and wait for the operator to dial those numbers.
Well, at least we're on our pleasant train journey.
Yeah, that's good. Train journey to Albania. Hopefully this will be the first, and I believe the first phone call ever made in the United States on radio live to Albania. You can't say the first phone call to Albania made on the radio, because I did that a few weeks ago. Mm. I had to go to Canada to do it, but you want to do it live.
No.
And service has just been instituted to Albania.
Hold on,
okay.
Operate overseas to Albania from 516-632-6000. Mm-hmm. It is a university. Must be real other.
Okay, what's the number you want to bill it to then?
Well, I'm just trying to reach information right now.
What do you need there?
I need the number for Radio Tirana, T-I-R-A-N-A, and that's in the capital city.
Mm-hmm. Well, try to get the operator for you.
Thank you.
What city is this person in?
I don't know. I'll find out.
How often do they say must be billed other on this program?
All the time.
No.
In fact, we were thinking of naming the show Must Be Billed Other. Oh, I'm sorry. Could that be an Albanian ring? No, this might be a Roman ring. Or it might be a Greek ring.
The calls are being routed through Greece.
Sometimes, but this might be an Albanian ring. If it's a Roman ring, you'll be able to tell because it never answers. And I know it's not a Greek ring because Greek rings sound different. They have pulses in them. Now, if this operator goes online and says there's no answer, let me try something else.
Like say?
And puts it on and gets a weird kind of warbly ring.
That's Greece.
That's Greece. But that won't answer either.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you should flash your plunger.
Well, I did just think of something.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, I can't.
What?
I don't know my calling card number.
No.
I don't know my calling card. Can you believe that? I don't know it.
Well, you're going to bill it to yourself?
Yeah, why not? But I don't know what it is.
Maybe we should get a listener to call up with your
phone. Oh, no, that's not getting involved with that.
No, okay. Well, our operator is certainly being patient with the Roman people.
What more patient than I'm being?
Oh, calm down now.
Your call cannot be completed at this time in the country you are calling.
Huh.
Please try your call later.
Hello? The operator just left us there? That's not very nice.
Can we just stay on?
Yeah, I'll stay on here
your
this for infinity.
Your call cannot be completed at this time.
And you can't flash
in
the plunger.
In the country you are
no,
calling.
No, you can't flash the plunger here.
Please try your call later.
Well, that's no fun.
Gracious.
No, I don't think it's going to play three times. It might, though. We might get an operator back. Let's hope we do.
Let's keep our fingers crossed. Bum, 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 bum.
Well, if I can figure out what my calling card number is, I can call a number, because we do have a number in Albania.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see if it actually rings and somebody picks up. But we need a way of billing it.
Do you have your calling card in your wallet or something?
I'll see if I do.
Do you want me to look, find your wallet or something?
Well, why don't we come back to this? Why don't we take some calls?
Okay, go ahead, take some calls.
We'll see if we can do this. What I'm going to do, I'm going to put this on hold. And see if it ever hangs up. And then we'll know if anybody ever picked up. Good evening.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you?
I don't believe you're ever going to get through to Albania.
Well, that's a very pessimistic way of looking at things. Do you look at your whole life that way?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I'm rather depressed because, you know, aside from you not being able to get through to Albania, my cat just got run over by a tractor trailer.
That's awful.
Yeah, I had to bring him to the vet. You want to hear the... I just want to give you a listing of what they had to do to this. So this is a real thing. This is real. And it's in code.
It's in code?
Yeah, it's encoded. It says the code is 1630, an intramuscular anesthesia. And it didn't list the animal's name. It's my animal.
What was the cat's name?
So we have 1974, an altered feline. Also, they list the animal's name.
What is your cat's name?
Max. Max. Right. They figured since he was run over by a tractor trailer and he flattened his legs out, that they would alter him because he was an unaltered male. They give him a radiograph, all right? With plus the anesthesia.
I'm starting not to believe you.
I'm serious. I'm reading this right off. This is from the North Shore Veterinarian Hospital. All right?
Okay.
I gave him a check payment, and, you know.
So the cat survived?
The cat survived, but, you know. Oh,
I was wondering why you'd alter a dead cat.
Yeah.
That doesn't make much sense. What's the prognosis?
The prognosis, he'll pull through, no problem.
Uh-huh.
What else do we got to talk? I wanted to touch on, nobody did anything about, Greta Garbo's death.
Well, what can you do on the radio, you know?
You could do a tribute. I understand they're putting a film together, with the highlights of her career and, all sorts of editing is involved. And, actually, I understand there's going to be some great colorization and, great graphics, and they're going to make a great big production of it. You know, I find this hard to believe, and I bet you that, Garbo's going to be turning over in a grave, you know, but
she's
say the truth.
Yeah.
Isn't Garbo the one that's, married to, Joe DiMaggio? Or is that Bridget Bardot?
That was Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe! I get them all confused. I can't believe it.
No, that's fine.
Hey, listen, somebody called in about the Sons of Elvis.
I don't know what's going on with the Sons of Elvis.
That's a feature that's happening at the station adjoining the dial, right next to yours. I don't know what that is.
What, the religious station?
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. They're having a revival with the Sons of Elvis.
Oh, boy. Well, listen, sir, we got to get back to Albania.
All right, I wanted to touch on one health point.
Quickly,
I read this in a paper about lemons.
All right.
Do you know lemons prolong life and can lead you into a healthier existence with your, you know, true nature?
Well, that's a good tip to pass along.
All right, so eat a lemon, Corley.
All right, I'll consider it. I'll give it some serious thought.
Bye.
Thanks for the tip. Eat a lemon. Huh. People come into a lot of things, but that's the first time they've done that. Okay, I found my calling card. Believe it or not.
What happens if you were to eat a lime instead?
I don't think...
I mean, they taste just as bad.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to know about things like that.
Okay, I'm just asking. Just
I wouldn't attempt it.
Okay.
All right, let's try this one more time.
Awfully, it makes your face kind of go...
First of all, this line never did hang up. It's still there. Hello, anybody there? There's nobody there.
Nobody there.
Big waste of time. Okay, so now we're going to get Albini again, except this time we're going to call an actual number.
Well, you're going to do it direct.
Right, and we'll see if they actually place the call through.
So you're going to tell everybody your calling card?
Well, no, we're going to figure out a way so that I can say it off mic, and hopefully it'll it won't get transmitted over the airwaves.
New York Telephone, Ms. Red?
Yes, can I have AT&T, please?
Sure.
One moment for an operator who can assist you.
Thank you.
AT&T?
Yes, I need 160355, please. Wow, it's amazing. They just do what you tell them. I don't know what you... There it is.
Could that have been the same operator we just got before?
AT&T, I'll see. May I help you?
9 corn customer from 516-632-6000.
Thank you. Hello?
Yes, hi. I'm calling Albania.
Okay.
All right. Now, I believe the country code...
Hello?
Yeah. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry, I believe the country code is 355.
And the number?
The number is 3239.
Big number.
Thank you. I'll try to get through.
Okay. He didn't ask me what my calling card number was.
After all that fishing and
underwater. Well, I assume he's going to ask me at some point.
Your international call cannot be completed as dialed.
That means he made a mistake.
I'll try again.
That means he made a mistake. Can't be completed as dialed. Doesn't mean busy.
That's right. Maybe he didn't press his pound sign key.
Your international call cannot be completed
perhaps
as dialed.
We have the wrong number.
Try again.
There might be a city code in there. I don't know if that is, if there is.
What's the name of the city, sir?
It's Tirana, T-I-R-A-N-A, capital city of Albania.
When did we start being able to call Albania? Just today?
What's the number you gave me again?
The number I gave you is 3239.
Okay, so you should have a 5-digit number.
Okay, I looked this up and they said it was 3239.
Okay, for Tirana, it's 5-digit number.
Okay, is it possible that includes the city code?
The city code is 42 plus a 5-digit number.
Oh.
42 plus a 5-digit number.
Yes.
The
number's wrong.
Okay. All right, let me look this up a little further then. Thanks for your help.
Okay, no problem.
All right. It's obnoxious anyway, so we'll just try it again. And what do you say?
He told you that you are wrong.
It basically, he said that. I didn't want to get into a shouting match with the man. But what do you say we just add a zero to the end of it, and then I'll make it a 5-digit number? 3239-0.
Either that or
you... Yes, hi. I need AT&T. That's what I need.
Certainly. What area code are you calling, sir?
I'm trying to call Albania. I don't know what their area code is.
Okay.
Well, shut her up pretty quickly.
One moment for an operator who can assist you.
Thank you.
All together now.
We could all say this for a living. She gets a royalty every time that gets played.
AT&T?
Yes, I need 160355, please.
Thank you.
I love it.
You should have told your New York operator that you wanted... she asked you what area code you were dialing.
Right.
You should have said 355.
I don't want to make the poor woman quit.
Ah. But that's an exchange in Nassau County. You don't need AT&T to dial that. Is it an exchange?
I have no idea.
Well,
we'll have to
find that. We'll have to find that out, I think.
Uh-oh. I feel sorry for all these people calling in. We're going to get to you. We're going to get to you. We have one open line, too. 632-6901. It's got to be the strangest show on the radio right now.
Do you really feel sorry for them, though?
A couple of them just hung up, so I guess...
I think proves how sincere you are.
Why aren't they picking up?
AT&T, ILC.
Yes, hi. I'm trying to call Albania, please.
We have the number?
One moment, operator. His number is 516-632. 6,000, please.
Thanks, operator. Is that a hotel?
No.
Okay, thanks.
You what?
Okay,
operator.
Yes.
But it's a university. Okay.
Okay,
it's
thanks.
It's restricted.
University?
Yes,
I don't know if I can do this.
Yes, sir.
Yes, hi. I'm trying to call Albania. The country code is 355, I believe. City code 42. And the phone number is 32390.
One moment.
Thank you.
You could be waking some poor innocent people.
I'm going to start a war. Toronto, right?
That's right, yes.
Okay, and how are you paying for the call, sir?
I'm going to give you my calling card number.
Okay.
All right, hold on 1 second. I'm going to turn this up. Hopefully you won't hear me. There, I did it. Nobody heard me.
I heard you.
You heard me, but you were sitting right next to me.
Ah.
Nobody over the air heard my calling card number. That's the important thing.
Calling Albania. The first time live on this radio station.
To smell the drama in the air. I don't know what she just said, but...
She said she's trying your call, sir, 1 moment.
Okay. Well, I mean, we are making steady progress here. We've got them now trying numbers for us.
Well,
they wouldn't even do that last week.
At least you know the magic number to say, 160355.
I'm going to say it all the time, though.
Uh-huh.
All the time.
You'll be walking down the street, you'll go past Jim Dexter, and you'll just tell him, 160355.
You can write a song, 160355. How do you know it was Albania's number?
He's been listening.
Probably. You know that song, Pennsylvania 6, whatever that is? Just write a little revision to it.
Albania 6.
I'm
sorry?
Trying to get through on the number to Albania. One moment.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Albania 61900.
What we got here? We got something.
Static.
No, that's a line.
That's a line?
That is a line.
But that is static on a line.
Well, it hasn't started ringing yet, but we've got a line.
We may get, if it's the wrong number, do you think we'll get a doo-doo-doo?
I don't think they do that over there.
And then they'll speak in Albanian. The number you've reached.
She's still typing away. Something just happened.
I know.
Oh, she's hitting returns rather hardly.
Hardly?
Not heartless.
Heartily.
Ferocious. I don't know what the word is.
Heartily, I think.
Heartily, yes. Angrily.
Vigorously.
Why isn't this damn call going through? Oh, got a line again. This is the kind of radio excitement that you just can't hear in other radio stations.
No, that's definitely true.
Jim Dexter is here.
Yes, he is. And I am.
You just saw Taming of the Shrew, right?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was good. It was definitely entertaining.
I don't know whether we're hitting a bad circuit. Just a moment. I'll try it again.
Okay. Continue before she interrupted you.
It was very entertaining. Some really good acting.
Busy.
Albania's busy.
Now wait, they don't have busy signals. Was that an Albanian busy signal?
Well, it's a busy signal. I don't know. We haven't been calling Albania enough that I'm familiar with their busy signal.
I don't think it sounds like that.
I assume it's a busy signal, sir.
Uh-huh. Are you able to route directly over there? Are you going through Rome or Athens?
We're dialing direct, sir.
I see. We can't dial direct yet, though, can we?
No, sir. It's too new, and they don't have, like, all of their numbers together. I'm trying to get the operator. Just a moment.
Okay, thank you. Is that a phone in Albania?
That's the operator in Albania.
We did it!
We did it! We made a phone ring in Albania. This is an Albanian phone ring.
Yahoo.
We just have not had enough calls that we are familiar with.
Should we have done this to begin with?
What the rings sound like. And a lot of their numbers, they do not even have listings for yet. A lot of people don't have phones. They're just, trying to get phones again.
Trying to get the radio station.
Been interesting trying to get through.
Is this the first time you've tried getting through?
No, I've talked to the operator in Albania several times since the lines have opened.
How long has it been?
That's the first busy signal I've encountered.
When did the lines open?
Well, it's only been the past week, sir.
Past week?
We've been able to dial to Albania. for that source of service.
I see. I heard that maybe in September we'll be able to dial direct.
One never knows.
Good point.
That's something they have to negotiate. Well, this became effective May 1st.
May 1st, huh? Well, it's now May
6th.
We are among the first radio stations calling Albania, I can tell you that.
We have so many new things coming on. The operator in Albania does not answer us at this time.
Okay, I'll give it another try. Can you tell me what time it is over there?
Yes, it's 4:49 in the morning, Sunday.
Ah. Okay. Well, thanks very much for your help.
They're 5 hours ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And the operator has now told us that it's 11:49 here, so I can reset this clock. And we didn't have to pay 35 cents to find out the time. All right, let's take some of these patient people.
No, wait a minute.
What do we got?
Jim Dexter was going to say more of...
I'm sorry, yeah, Taming of the Shrew.
Yes, as I was saying, it was very entertaining, well-meaning, some really good acting. However...
You're referring to the play itself or the production?
The production, this production.
You're not criticizing Shakespeare, right?
No, I wouldn't dream of that.
All right. Be very careful what you say about Shakespeare. Right?
Yeah, I had a really good time. Having been involved in the theater myself, it was I'm generally a lot more critical, I think, than most people. But Shrew wasn't the mammal that came to mind, quite frankly, in this production. I was thinking more of like lemmings.
Lemmings.
Yeah, lemmings. The Taming of the Lemming was really more of what I was experiencing. But I mean, I had a great time. I mean, everybody should see it. I was picturing a lemming.
Where is it playing and for how long?
Stoller Center, here on the campus of the State University of New York at Stony Brook. Mike is ramming the microphone into my face. And getting quite a charge out of it too, I might add.
Get out of here.
Stoller Center through tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow's the last day. Tomorrow.
Well, you better
there's
hurry. Folks.
I think there's only one performance tomorrow, a matinee performance.
Well, listen, I want to race through these calls here because we do
race through them.
Patient people calling us up. Let's see what we got out here. Good evening.
Yes, the difference. Take it off the air, you loser.
Oh, well. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Eric Norelli. I am the FBI computer for this. I've been charged with a desperate about crime. You have the right to remain silent. If you give up this right, anything you say or do can be used against you. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford one, the court will appoint one for you. You have the right to hang up your telephone at any time. Well, you're in a lot of hot water. Sorry. Goodbye.
Well, I said it before, but I'll say it again. Now I've heard everything. Good evening. Anybody there?
Eric? Eric?
Yes, that's my name. Go ahead.
David.
David, how are you?
Pretty good. Hey, Mike.
Hi, David.
That was Andrew that just did that.
Well, that's very good. But you didn't have to tell who did it.
Oh.
It was more magical not knowing who did it.
Oh. How's everything?
Everything's fine.
That's good.
Yeah, we're still here.
So what's our topic for tonight?
There is no topic. We only have 7 minutes.
The topic is Albania.
Well, yeah, sort of.
I heard you're trying to get through there.
Well, we made a call there, and we did make the phone ring.
We made the phone ring.
They didn't feel like answering it.
The first. Well, it's 4:49 in the morning. What do you expect?
I answer my phone at 4:49 in the morning.
Well, that's because
you
don't
get it on the first ring, too.
That's like somebody from Albania calling you at 4:49 in the morning.
What did you say about the entire country?
I said you are not an entire country.
No, I'm not an entire country, but I represent my country, don't I?
Yes.
I am a representative of the United States.
You are a goodwill ambassador.
How's it work?
Well, I don't know about the goodwill part, but I am an ambassador. Anyway, we got to get to these other calls. We only have a limited amount of time, and we've seen enough of you, David.
Oh, fine. Have a good night, everybody.
Okay.
Thank you, David.
Thanks for calling.
Goodbye.
632-6901. Good evening.
Hi, yes, Eric?
Yeah.
Hi, yes. I don't know if you remember me. My name is Mike. I was talking to you last week about, I was the last caller, and I was talking about if us as the United States should have business to, you know, bust in on Nicaragua, take out, you know, leaders and stuff like that. And over the week, I was thinking that, you know, you were right. It is wrong for us, you know, to go in and take, like, Manuel Noriega out of his country and make him ours, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I agree with you.
Oh, you mean this week you changed your mind?
Well, yeah. You know, I did a lot of thinking about it, you know?
Well, that's good. You did a lot of thinking about it. You think many people are doing a lot of thinking about it?
Personally, no. I think it's totally, you know, just like I said, like last time, I think, you know, most of it was used because of, you know, like press reasons and stuff, just for publicity. And now he's like, you know, I think this is like one guy who stands there and says like what's in and what's out, you know, like Reebok sneakers or LA Gears or something like that.
Right.
This Manuel Noriega is just out, you know, he's out. He's like Ali North. They're just waiting for someone else to hop on, you know.
I wonder who's going to be next.
I have no idea. I think they just want to nail Quayle for something. I feel it.
Well, I don't know if there's enough interest in that, but it'll be a neat couple of years ahead to see what he does. He's got to do something stupid soon. You know, he's due.
Yeah, but see, remember, you got to sort of remember we're Americans. You know, we need this stuff. You know?
That's right. It's what keeps us going.
That's right.
Scandals and intrigue. All right. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Yes, and listen, I'm sorry that you couldn't get through to Albania.
Well, we made the phone ring. I guess that's something, huh?
Yeah. Well, congratulations then.
Okay. Thanks.
Take it easy.
At least we got through to Don Topeka, right?
Yeah.
So the evening hasn't been a total loss.
That was a pretty good accomplishment.
Good evening.
Well, is this the universary?
Yes, you've reached the universary.
This is the Sons of Doom.
And it's our anniversary.
Sons of Doom.
Well, Son of Doom, you're going to have to make it fairly fast. You're our last caller for tonight, but that means you have the last word, so.
Well,
so
we
go
had
crazy.
A meeting amongst ourselves, and we've come to the. Unanimous conclusion, and you'll have to excuse our apathy, but it's been unanimous, and we are totally bored with Albania at this time.
Well, now, those are pretty strong words on your behalf there, saying that you're bored with Albania. Let me just tell you something. You ain't seen nothing from Albania yet. Every single Eastern Bloc country has given you some entertainment over the past year. Albania has not yet even started the pregame show. So just remember that, huh?
Well, this is the board has come to the unanimous decision that we would like to hear from a 900 number.
A 900? Well, listen to Stardate. He's got a 900 number, doesn't he?
We want to hear the Love Connection or something.
Keep dreaming, my friend.
He's got a telephone. He can dial it himself.
Yeah, you can dial it yourself with your own phone.
But this is, you got to burn the new transmitter in. You might as well burn it in on something hot.
Okay, we'll keep that in mind.
Bye.
No more words of doom?
No, not tonight.
Okay, we'll keep being cheerful.
Oh, I did get a letter of a news aid. It'll be in 2 weeks. I don't know how it took so long. You've gotten so many in there. They're finally going to print one of mine.
Well, they're stacked up, but...
God, I'm finally going.
Keep writing letters, and everybody else write some letters, too.
Eric?
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry, I keep hanging up on people early.
So what did he mean? You had lots of letters.
You can't talk into the microphone. You expect people to hear you.
Sorry. What do you mean you had lots of letters in Newsday?
Occasionally I write letters in Newsday. Big deal.
Really? So are you one of those prolific letter writers?
Well, I like not to think of myself as a crank.
Oh.
Somebody who's always,
do you always
mouthing
have an issue?
Off about something.
You always have an issue, though.
I always have an issue at hand, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's commendable.
Well, I like to think so.
Mm.
Makes my life worth living, you know?
Ah.
Yeah. Anyway, your life's about to get a lot more worth living because Power Surge is up around the corner. And, hey, you know, all these metal people are now tuning in. And there's this new metal station that's on the air. I don't know if anybody has heard it, but you got to go into New York City to listen to it. It's it used to be a Spanish station. Now it's an AM metal station called Z-Rock 1480, I think, on the AM dial. And maybe next week we'll talk about this because it's wild hearing metal music on AM radio. I mean,
yeah, see if you can't pick it up, and we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, they call themselves the most dangerous network, I think is what they call themselves. But we're the most dangerous station in the nation, and Raz is about to prove why. So stay tuned for Power Surge is just the best way to describe it here on WUSB. This has been Brain Damage. We'll be back next week.
Good night.
Be good, unless you really don't want to be.
Mushrooming home in a crowd, I'm alone. Close your eyes, lie still. You are a mountain stream, and I am a hill. Hey, breathe in the air.
brain damage is underwritten by a grant from the Little Computer Shop, located in the Model Shopping Mall in Centereach. Phone number 467-4352. The Little Computer Shop stocks the latest in hardware, software, and computer publications.
Power. A position of ascendancy over others. Surge. To rise and fall actively. Power. Physical might. Mental or moral vigor. Surge. A sweeping onward like a wave of the sea or a motion.